So everybody has a smartphone now. It's the penetration of phones with the ability to take a picture or take a video has increased tremendously in the past 12 months. And all people need to do is turn on their phone to capture a moment. And they're sharing it online. It's making it very easy to post it to Facebook, to post it to Twitter, to Flickr, to YouTube. You can do it straight from your phone where you're sitting at that precise moment. Email it to friends. Even, you know, text it to your friends, basically. It's increasing in popularity just because the ability to do it has increased tremendously.
Social shopping is also gaining momentum, according to statistics. What is social shopping, and is it different for different genders?
Sure. Well, social shopping is the ability to share your purchases through your online network. So that might be through Groupon. When they offer you a coupon to buy, you have to generate so many people through the purchase before it actually becomes available to use. So when you purchase it, you can share it to Facebook, you can share it to Twitter so that all your friends know that you've purchased it, and then they also can purchase it there by making the coupon available and usable. That's one aspect of social shopping. Another aspect of it is, you know, being in a store and taking a picture and uploading it to your Facebook and asking your friends if you should buy it. There are actually apps for doing that now, where you can scan the barcode, have people that are within your network of that app, and they can all kind of share what they think and whether or not you should buy it. So there's a couple of different aspects of that. Now, as far as gender is concerned, things like Groupon, that's pretty gender neutral. That's males and females. They both like to save money, both like to share experiences with their friends, and you see, you know, 50-50 from a penetration standpoint on Facebook of gender, so they're all sharing the information, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to social shopping from am I going to buy this dress or am I going to buy these shoes, that is definitely more female-oriented. I mean, they go shopping in groups. Men don't typically do that. You may see men doing it from a perspective of sending a picture back to their spouse and saying, is it okay if I buy this? But you're not going to see them sharing their purchases quite as much online as you will the females.
So for a store owner, somebody selling a product, somebody selling a service, how do they have to reshape their thinking to cope with this trend?
Well, you know, I think that you just accept that consumers are going to do this. So give them the tools and ways to do it and make it easy from your outlet. So if that means providing a high-speed wireless internet provider so that they can use their smartphones to upload photos of the products that they find, or to upload video of themselves trying the product on so that they can share it with their friends and their family before making a purchase, you're more likely to have a happy consumer and less likely to have a return purchase. So giving them the tools to do it and accepting it, you know, not shooing people out when they come in with a camera, as many retailers like to do, and just embracing that, and you'll have more loyal customers.
I mentioned Foursquare earlier. It's one of several location-based applications. I'm not much on the location-based disclosure. I don't always want people to know where I am, but I know others do. Why is location sharing not going away, and what do you think is the benefit?
Well, it's definitely not going away. I think Foursquare had a 3,400% increase in usage in 2010. And, you know, people just really enjoy sharing that information. I can't explain why it is that they want to share that information, but they do. And as a result, brands, stores, retailers are catching on to this and giving them the opportunity to get a discount or be rewarded in some way for sharing their location at that outlet, because ultimately it becomes a really good thing for retailers and businesses.
Well, you've also argued that consumer influence will continue to grow online. That kind of segues into what we're talking about. What does that mean, consumer influence growing online, and how should that change a business owner's approach to his or her operations?
Well, consumer influence is going to continue to grow because people want to hear what other people think about a product or a service or anything that they're going to spend money on before they actually do. You see companies like Zappos where they allow people to put reviews on specific products. Well, most people will go through and read all of those reviews or a good portion of them before they make a purchase decision. So again, it's about giving the consumer an outlet for doing that. And if you do, if you embrace it and you kind of channel them into your brand, then you're giving your future consumers a way to access that information easier.
All right, Emily, any advice you'd recommend to those who are hesitant to dip too far, too fast into this social media pool, or is caution okay?
You know, I say don't hesitate at this point. At this point, everyone is involved online in some way, shape, or form, whether it's your grandparent or your teenage child. And to not be there sticks out further than being hesitant and doing it wrong. Sometimes you can just be there and let the consumers tell you what they need without pushing messages out to them. I think at this point, you just jump in, get a partner that knows how to do it, that can kind of navigate you if you feel more comfortable doing that, but don't hesitate anymore.